this is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty. What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name's Sky.
I'm Maddie B.
And we are here today after a long silence just for you guys. It's not video. It's nothing else. It's nowhere to be found except the podcast platforms. But this is a special for our very loyal listeners. And besides all that, we're going to talk about current events today because there's a lot to get on. There's a lot on our minds. That's all I have to say there.
A lot has happened in the last, like, two weeks.
Yes, sir.
Feels like it's been a lot longer.
Yeah, it does. You know, I say long absence. I thought, like, we were gone for months. That's what it feels like, dude.
Feels like it. I'm having withdrawals.
Crap.
Like, getting the shakes.
Get that podcast on, yeah.
Just speaking to a microphone. Hey, real quick, I mentioned this to Sierra, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm going to blow your mind when I say this. It hasn't even been a year since the election.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like it was like 2 years ago?
I mean, it's, yeah.
Feels like forever ago.
Because of how much he's done in so little time.
How much has happened, yeah, just in general. Just, golly.
It shows how the pendulum swings both ways.
Yeah. How much you can screw up in a country just by, you know. Anyway.
Barely existing.
Yeah. Barely being alive.
Kamala, dude, House of Cards is happening
before. Kamala.
Just koala bear is Harris.
You
know, she's not as nice as a koala, but she's a koala.
Koalas are actually pretty mean.
Oh, really?
She's still not as nice. She's right? still not as nice as.
Okay, so the evil laugh screams koala bear.
Ugh.
All I'm saying is that's House of Cards, dude. It's happening before our eyes.
Yeah, if you ever watched the Netflix show House of Cards,
Kevin Spacey-ing this whole thing, dude. I guarantee you.
Without the, you know, inappropriate. Touching.
What? Okay, yeah, not the weird third season scene. I actually stopped
watching it as soon as that happened. Like Kevin Spacey, not his character.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, the real dude. That obviously not a, he's not a koala bear, that's for damn sure.
He's more like a panda bear.
What?
A panda bear that's like
pandas are nice.
Touched you in your sleep.
Hey.
Don't say bad things about pandas. Panda bears deserve to be extinct. They're the stupidest animals.
I'm just a panda bear, a sexy little panda bear, and I'll dance for you if you give me a quarter. Remember that? YouTube?
No, I have no idea.
Back in the old days of YouTube?
Is it Dancing Panda?
Yeah.
Is that like a thing? Yeah, I don't remember that.
It's like peanut butter jelly time.
I think South Park made it up and... Or made fun of it is what I'm going to say. And
all right, guys, for you today, let's move on with it here.
That's all I know about it.
I got a quick thing to say about this news article I found on Ground News. You guys may have seen it. I don't know if you actually, you know, read the news. But TikTok tells U.S. lawmakers it does not give information to China's government. This happened at a U.S. congressional hearing. But you all know how that goes. U.S. congressional hearings normally mean nothing. And what I'm trying to say is they lied in front of Congress, but it doesn't matter. Just like Fauci lied in front of Congress, and it doesn't matter. But Steve Bannon, he's not getting away with it. So anyway, that's all that is there. I know they're lying. I would think they're lying. Even though I use TikTok, and I was actually a big advocate for TikTok because I am. Because you curate your own TikTok. And what I'm trying to say is the algorithm follows what you like and you can watch whatever you want. And I haven't seen a lot of censorship the way YouTube does it. I'll say that. Because a lot of people I follow are very conservative and they, I'll tell you what, they say what they want. They definitely say what they want. But in a kid's hands, it's very toxic and probably not the best thing in the world. Whatever. That's a rabbit hole I'm not trying to go down. Next quick thing. Joanna Lumley, who is an actress. I really don't even know what she's in. I'm not really good at that. I'm not good at naming actors and knowing what they're in.
I've never heard of her.
Well, whatever. Some random nobody is on the news because she's saying something very leftist, if you will. She wants to propose a system, she proposed a system under which people would have limited points to spend on holidays and luxury items in order to ration things off, like wartime style rationing. And she says it's in the name of the climate crisis. So that's just another little BS segment I wanted to read to you guys. You know, the news is full of terrible crap, and so we make sure to bring that to your attention. All right, wow. Cool. That was it. That was a little quick segment. But the real news today, the real deal news today, is that from this moment on, this podcast is going to be more involved in local politics and local news.
Yeah.
And we're in Texas, so that means Texans, listen up. We're here for you. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Because local news, honestly, I've been keeping track of it for a couple months now, trying to keep track and see mm-hmm. how things go and see what the flow is and stuff, you know. And it's slow. It is.
It's not as fun as national politics, that's for sure.
Not even close, man.
The next biggest thing in Texas politics that's actually, like, you know, decent to talk about and listen to is the 2022 Texas gubernatorial election, which is when we elect our governor. That's going to take place on November 8th, 2022. Mark it in your calendar. Don't forget to vote.
So almost a year from now.
Yeah.
A little bit over a year from now.
Yeah. So obviously right now, Greg Abbott's our governor. He's running for a third term. It's already announced. The Texas Republican Party chairman was Alan West.
Alan West, dude, cool familiar. Guy. Yeah.
I think he was a lieutenant colonel.
Cowboy hat colonel. Wearing, gun toting Texan, you know?
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool guy.
Well, he's, I mean, he's,
I'm not, he I, was, I just he, know he was a
representative,
value.
So he was a representative from Florida originally, and then, right. and then he moved to Texas to become our Republican Party chair. And now he's running for governor against Greg Abbott. He's running to the right of Abbott. So is Don Huffines.
Yeah, the guy that owns freaking Huffines Honda, is it? Or yep, dealerships? Yep. I want to have Huffines him on the show.
Has it. Yeah.
If I can have him on the show, that'd be sick.
Well, of course it would be. Yeah, so Huffines is he's running as well. Both are running to the right of him. There's no term limits in Texas for the governor. I think Rick Perry, I think, served four terms.
Should there be?
Probably.
I mean, I think term limits are a big deal, right? Everyone always talks about term limits, but they're talking about Congress and stuff like
Virginia,
that.
Virginia, you can only have be governor for one term at a time.
That's not good. It needs to be more than that.
Two terms is probably fine.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know...
Two, 3 or 4 year terms.
Well, it's just like presidents. How quickly can you really get stuff done? Okay, I know Biden's
pretty
wrecked
quick. Pretty quick
country.
If you're a governor. Pretty quick
if you're a governor.
Because you don't have states fighting you.
Oh, right.
You have... Like the courts, and that's it.
If, and it takes longer for a president to do it, and they have two terms.
Yeah,
so.
Plus the national implementation is much bigger and broader than state implementation.
Well, also, it seems like to do things that are logically better for the country, it's harder to do that. It's easier to go the other direction and fail a country, you know? Hmm. It is. So, but right? I mean, it just seems like it. People seem to ease into, like, even with everything going on now, man, everyone's like adapted so easily, and it's weird to me. I don't like it. I sound like an old like boomer saying that, but I'm talking about, like, you know, 15 days to whatever, and then next thing you know, we're here, and people are just kind of like, well, whatever. I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just saying it seems like we're very okay with things, and it is weird. I'm not saying that we should be living like pilgrims, you know, or Protestants or any of that crap. That's not what I'm saying. But just a little bit traditionalist, you know. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, not a bad thing.
But,
well, there's value in that, I feel like.
So also, well, you're right. There's also with Texas, principles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
With Texas, the redistricting of the House of Representatives, I believe, happened.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently, and so
new gerrymandering.
Yeah, exactly. And what's
everybody does it?
I get it.
It's cool.
Every state does it.
There's literally not a better system that anyone can think of that we can agree on. So that's what we have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because either way, the gerrymandering, like, it leans one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It just does. And that's how it works. And it just keeps going. You go to California, gerrymandering's in favor of all the people that hate gerrymandering.
Right.
Let's just be honest here. And they do it on purpose because they're the ones.
Only the minority hates gerrymandering.
Correct. Like anyway, currently, Latinos, the Latino vote of Texas, are trying to sue Texas for the redistricting. They are upset with the way it got redistricted. They think it's they're not able to show their presence enough because of it.
Hmm.
It would be interesting to see that go anywhere because
if they can prove it in court,
my idea was, you know, after a lot of the Hispanics and Latinos and whoever I've talked to that are from Southern America and Central America and just everywhere down there, they seem to be like right leaning most of the time.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm not talking to the people that
came here migrating. Who's organizing this?
You know,
the suit against the redistricting.
I have zero idea.
I was going to say, it's probably not Latinos in general. It's probably like a Latino.
No, it's a representative, I think. Yeah, it's a representative. I can't remember.
I'm sure it's just some Democratic organization and Democratic politician that's just trying to get some clout, you know? It's not going to go anywhere. You're not going to change anything by this.
I agree. Latino voters sue Texas over absurd redistricting plan that dilutes minority votes. The only people that reported on this are the independent. So we'll see what the left-leaning community says about this.
Hmm.
Latino voting rights advocates and a group of Texas voters have sued Governor Greg Abbott and the Texas Secretary of State for approving newly drawn political boundaries that aim to keep Republicans in power for the next decade by purposefully diluting the political power of black and brown voters, plaintiffs argue. So this was filed by, that was mine.
Oh.
Was it playing on yours?
No,
it was playing this stupid independent. You know what I don't like? This is a caveat. Not a caveat. This is an offshoot. This is a side note. I don't know what to call it.
What?
This is a sidebar. Videos that show up when you go to a news site that just start playing.
Oh yeah, that's obviously super annoying.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, it's not a single person. It's Latino voting rights advocates and a group of Texas voters. That's all it says. That's all we know.
Yeah. So it sounds like a political stunt, and probably a fundraiser as well. Because
dude, wouldn't be surprised. You're right.
That's not going to go anywhere.
That's all. That all comes from ground news, by the way.
So real quick, we talked about Governor Abbott running for re-election in 2022, and Alan West challenging him from the right. So from the left / center, you have Beto, who's probably going to run, probably going to lose, because Abbott won 55% of the vote. I think it was 55.8% of the vote.
Beto is such a beta male, dude.
Oh, he's Beto. He's a joke. A terrible politician. He's only lost. He was in a House of Representatives from representing El Paso's district, and for like maybe a term or two. That's all he's done. That's all.
He lost
for Senate, and then he lost for President, and now he's trying to lose for Governor.
He doesn't have the experience. So hold on, I want to say some things about these people you're mentioning.
Yeah, Beto.
And I feel like he has experience. Even if he was going to do it, and obviously he also has ridiculous views on things. Alan West, I also don't think he has experience.
Yeah, he said, "Damn experience. Right, we're coming after your AR-15." Like,
yeah, Beto.
You
want to
run
that.
For governor of Texas? Like, what?
Why are you doing this?
He's asking to get shot. A rally. He's asking to get killed.
Right,
like what an idiot.
And he also did a rally at the exact same time as a Trump rally, like an idiot.
Oh yeah, I had like
and he wasn't even running for president.
Up.
I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you doing this?
It's an anti-Trump rally.
It was dumb, dude. And it was in Grand Prairie, bro. Pick a better venue, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm on the cover of Vanity Fair. I'm a great Texan. Like,
yeah.
No real Texan is on the cover of Vanity freaking Fair, bud.
Oh, I didn't know that. Figure it out. Anyway, dude. So, Alan West. I also don't think he has experience.
Alan West.
But he's cool. He's awesome. It looks like his views are there, man. And he's principled. But I don't know, man. I don't know the guy that well.
Chair of the Republican Party of the state of Texas. I feel like that's a pretty good amount of experience.
Okay.
He has a lot of political experience. But yeah, as far as being an executive, he's never really ran a big business or anything.
I mean, supposedly he's the one that got the heartbeat bill going. with the help of many others, obviously. But yeah. Apparently he was like the one. He was the voice, you know, and he was like pushing it on Abbott, you know, big time. Supposedly.
Well,
this is all by him saying
he is more conservative than Abbott. And I feel like he would be more of like a DeSantis than Abbott. So? Oh yeah. He's more conservative, he's more aggressive, he's more outspoken.
You know, I gotta be honest.
He has more convictions that he would stick to, I feel. I'm gonna vote for Alan West. That's full disclosure, that's who I'm voting for.
Cool,
as of right now.
I thought about it. I don't know.
Because Abbott, I'm not a fan of.
I'll say this. Whoa. Where's the Tulsi Gabbards of Texas? You know? By saying, where's a moderate, like an actual good moderate that's principled? Does that exist?
Some would say it's Matthew McConaughey, but one, he may not run. He's got amazing, 100% name recognition, which is great. He's extremely likable. Everybody likes him because they don't know where he stands on any issues. He doesn't come out one way or the other on anything. He's absolutely squishy, no principles.
Okay,
he wants to make everybody get along, and that's just not going to happen. It's a pipe dream. Not everybody's going to get along, especially right now. We're more divided, and right now it just comes down to winning, I think. As conservatives, we need to seize the power, and we need to wield it, and we need to affect our view of what America should be or what our state should be.
Well, okay.
Because right now
that sounds like just insanity. Like the way you just said that, even sounds like just like whoa.
Well, that's
what
the liberals have been doing for the last 30 years.
No. Well, exactly, but they've been doing it successfully because they haven't come out and said we want to push our agenda on you. You know,
that's exactly what they've been saying. Not for the last 30 years, but for the last two or three, they've been overt.
They have definitely been overt. Yeah. You're right. Because that's why we've had a lot of Democrats coming over to the right side.
And it's because they have a greater percentage of the voter base. There's more Democrats out there than there are Republicans, period, nationally and in most states. The fact that they have all of the institutions, they have education, they have the media, they have social media, the tech firms,
right?
In Hollywood, they have so much control over what we see and what we do on a subliminal level for so long that now they can be like overt about their schemes. And about their plans, and it, no one really bats an eye because they've been subliminally charged for so long.
My problem here is that, well, who else, go, is that the end of the list? You have some more people?
Yeah, no, just Alan West, Beto McConaughey, that's pretty much the big,
so
big names for governor.
Where
so far.
Are the people, you know, there are people in Texas that got offended by the heartbeat bill, and they got offended by, you know, mandates against mandates, essentially. But they're not Democrats. And some of them aren't really that woke, it seems like. I don't know. Some random people that don't have pink hair.
So what you're talking about...
Where do they go? Who are they going to vote for, what are you thinking?
Those independents...
Your prediction
less,
of independents, yeah.
They're less politically minded. They're less involved. They're probably... middle class for the
most
part.
I see them voting for McConaughey.
I could see them voting for someone that they would rather have a beer with, which is McConaughey. Alan West is not someone you'd want to have a beer with. He's military. He's had like the same haircut since he was 18.
I think he was on Joe Rogan, dude.
Alan West? Probably, I think so.
And he was like, he seemed pretty cool.
He's cool.
Was it him or someone else? I think it was him.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's fairly likable.
That's something to make.
Abbott's
a good
not
point
likeable.
To make, though.
Let me say this. Abbott's not likable at all, and he's governor. So it's who you know, not what you know. Alan West knows everyone he needs to know.
Okay, you're making a very good distinction here. I think people don't always see that, you know? Mm-hmm. I know we talk about it with Trump and all that crap, but with normal, let's just talk about with normal politics where there's not some freaking crazy dividing line or politicization of stuff, you know, like Trump. Even Abbott, he's not a likable guy. Probably wouldn't have a beer with him, but he's governor, and he makes some good decisions, I think. Mm-hmm. Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of squishy too. Yeah. Alan West, same thing you said. Probably wouldn't have a beer with him. You know, probably wouldn't like him. You know, probably a freaking hard guy. You know.
Mm-hmm.
People think that you have to be able to like somebody like that. People think that you have to be able to sit in a room with them, even though you would never do it.
Yeah, that's
who is going to end up? It's like a celebrity, bro. Who's mm-hmm. going to end up in a room with
that
this guy?
That's the problem with Trump that he was a really good president, but he's just a jerk. Like,
right.
He is a jerk. Like,
right, straight
you know
up
what
jerk.
I mean, I'm going to vote for him, but I would not want to have a beer with the guy.
Right. That's why we've always said that, and I've always said, yeah, I would wave at him from afar in a bar, right?
He's a gaudy New Yorker, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
he's a really good president.
Yeah,
he's a really good CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's weird, crazy. I mean, what effective, good leader doesn't have an eccentric personality?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, man. Kanye
Besides
West,
maybe like Mark Zuckerberg. Like, he has no personality at all. Like, weird. He's a robot.
Have you ever seen Social Network?
Uh-huh.
Dude. She's literally like, you are terrible. when he gets broken up with, you know?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, it's like...
You are terrible.
Holy crap. Yeah, Jesse, dude, he acted that perfectly.
Yeah. So, while we're on states, real quick, this is a pretty quick note. I just want to mention Minneapolis crime. They deserve it. It's hilarious because they deserve it.
The government of Minneapolis deserves it.
No, the people do.
You
the
think
people
so?
Absolutely. Because who put them in charge? The people deserve what they get, 100%. They deserve Ilhan Omar.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're all stupid.
Yes, I see what you're saying. They
so,
voted for the wrong people.
That's why Texas is so great. We have a Republican mayor. That's how awesome Fort Worth is. So anyway, this is from Frontline, from PBS.org. So this is not a right-leaning
Apparently it's not awesome enough.
Syndicate.
I'll say that right now.
After decades of declining violent crime, Minneapolis recorded 84... This is just Minneapolis, not Minnesota as a state. Minneapolis alone recorded 84 murders last year, up from about 48 in 2019. That's a 116% increase in murders from 1 year to the next.
Yeah, I need a drink for this.
100... The 67 murders so far in 2021 are on pace to surpass that. This was written in a little while ago. So, yeah, September 11th, dude. Over a month ago. So I'm sure there's been a lot more murders since then.
Yeah.
67
you're right.
murders so far in 2021 on pace to surpass that. Four of those killings took place this week in a span of 29 hours.
Where do those stats come from? FBI?
I
know they're the ones that do all the census murder.
I will look at the end of this paragraph. Yeah, among them... one with a 12-year-old victim. At least five kids, 10 years old or younger, have been caught in the crossfire this year, leading to news reports featuring images of picture day smiles over descriptions of children on life support or inside tiny coffins. So, how about that defunding the police, everyone? So, Ilhan Omar was asked about this. And she said she basically blamed it on the police. She was like, there's a little video clip of her saying that it's police that did this. And let me get back to it.
If you've never tried Silver Star whiskey, it's freaking awesome. This is not an ad. I was just saying it because I poured some whiskey. Some whiskey.
Yeah.
Just get out slurping.
Who slurps whiskey? I'm gonna
just kidding,
slap
dude.
That at your hand.
I didn't do anything, man.
So yeah, Omar blames dysfunctional police for Minneapolis violent crime spike. Dysfunctional police that you just defunded by like millions of dollars.
Yeah. So why is it dysfunctional? Huh? Tell me, Matt.
She said. She said, quote, this is from Fox News, quote, what we must also recognize is that the reduction of policing currently in our city and the lawlessness that is happening is due to two things. She said, one of them is, quote, the police have chosen not to fulfill their oath of office and to provide the public safety that they are owed to the citizens they serve. Okay, police are there to enforce laws. Okay. They're not there just for your protection. You people are supposed to protect themselves.
Right.
That's why we have a Second Amendment. If you're getting robbed, if you're getting robbed at gunpoint, do you pull a phone out and call 911? No.
Well, that's what they want. They want you to call a social worker in California.
They want the criminal to get away with it. That's what they really want. Because no one's, first of all, no one's going to sign up to be a social worker if you have to respond to violent crimes.
Have you ever thought,
violent situations.
For things like this, for instances like this, do you think, and I'm not going to tell you what I think, obviously, but I'm going to ask it like this. Do you think that the people in power, this girl, this person, does these things knowing the outcome will be terrible?
Yes.
So that means you think it's a malicious
because
intent.
the more she can. I think Ilhan Omar is an evil human being and a sociopath. I think she's a bad person, an actual bad person.
I just don't understand. So I get it because politicians are already kind of a sociopath anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're already really close to that. So, but I've never really thought about it because I think I like to think that they get up there and they think they're doing it for the good of people.
No, I would say probably 1 to 2 politicians actually think that. Like Dan Crenshaw.
So you really think they really are just like...
I would say Dan Crenshaw, DeSantis, and Trump would be some of the very... Like that's the 2%.
Trump?
That actually, yeah, 100%.
So why would you think... Why is it just to get reelected? Is it just to make money? Is it to see their city fail? Like, I'm wondering,
so the reason,
where does it come from?
The reason Ilhan Omar wants... So, hold on. Let me see if it says this. Because she says it in... So, let me just finish this real quick. So, just as a reminder, this is where George Floyd was killed.
Minneapolis, yep.
Yeah, not murdered, but killed. The Minneapolis Police Department is the most dysfunctional in our state and probably in the country, Omar said. She said there's a lack of accountability. And she also said, quote, I do believe that the current charter that we have does tie the hands of those who want to have that accountability. We are mandated to have a specific amount of policing. We are mandated to have this kind of union contract that you have right now. I don't know of any other big city in the state of Minnesota that has the charter that we have.
In the state of Minnesota? Okay, good one.
State of Minnesota.
Good one. There's not a... Dude, it's Minnesota. Let's be clear.
And Minneapolis is the biggest city in Minnesota.
Of course it is, but I'm saying it's Minnesota. It's like, okay, of course there's not a big city in Minnesota.
Yeah. But basically, the mentality that she displays to her constituents and that she kind of like instills in her constituents is a victim mentality of that you're oppressed. And it's mostly, her district is mostly black Somalians. She is Somalian herself.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota? Wow.
Yeah. A lot of them moved up there. And so that's a lot of what she represents. And she's basically saying, you're a victim. You're always going to be a victim. There's nothing anyone can do to help the situation because it's systemic. And if she can prove that by removing police, making their lives worse, they'll go, man, I really am a victim. I just got robbed. My wages are down. The good businesses are moving out. It's all because of white people, you know? And that's basically what she's saying over and over and over, is that it's white people, it's authority figures, it's police, it's everyone but me. Me and my squad will come, and if you just give me more power and let me have the control, I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to help you. And that's exactly what Stalin said before he killed 30 million of his own people.
No, I know. Okay, I'm there. That's extreme, but I'm there. I agree. It is the same ideas.
And if you look at
but
China's, if you look at Mao's China,
yeah,
it's the same as woke America. It's right. The same. It's my way the highway. It's this indoctrination. It's the secularism.
Let's
the dependence on government.
Let's not go too far down that rabbit hole.
So yet. So that's what's going on in Minneapolis. It's a contentious issue.
So
she's just a glib politician who doesn't care about her people. That's my point. And
yeah.
if PBS is mentioning it, I mean that's a pretty big deal. I feel like, I mean their murder rates doubled year over year. just in Minneapolis alone. So you need police. You got to have them. I know it's...
I mean, if you have the state that's happening, or the current thing that's happening in, like, Washington and Tacoma, or sorry, not Tacoma, Yakima, and places like that, this policemen are stepping down, dude, because of vaccine mandates.
So this is from RCP. I just saw this. Oh, we're talking about this next, too.
Real clear politics, guys.
Biden warns at McAuliffe rally, extremism can, quote, come in a smile and a fleece vest. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about parents. He's talking about parents becoming extremists because they don't want critical
CRT
race theory.
Right.
And they don't want transgender ideology, and they don't want pornography in their school libraries.
Speaking of that, Loudoun County, right?
Yeah,
Loudoun County, bro.
Dude, a guy goes,
oh my God.
So here's what happened in Loudoun County.
If I was a parent, some people would be dead.
Yeah, this
sucks.
This guy shows some restraint, in my opinion. I mean, if I was that dead. Yeah, I mean, he showed a lot of restraint, let me just say. So anyway, right. Here's what happened. Let me break it down. So the... In Virginia,
hell yeah.
There's a county called Loudoun County, right? And it is a very northern county in Virginia, and it's an incredibly liberal county. It is right outside Washington, D.C., so a lot of the Washington, D.C. elites live there and have their kids go to school there. So, like I mentioned, it is a pretty liberal county. It didn't used to be. 20 years ago, it was actually pretty conservative, say with most of Virginia. I think George Bush actually won Virginia, and it's been Democrat ever since. So they have these school board meetings, and to raise the parents have issues with CRT being taught in the schools and literal pornography being in the libraries and just weird gender ideology being taught to elementary school age students, and it's not.
We're talking less than fifth grade, guys.
Yeah, it's not good stuff. And I even saw one picture book that was being taught in Loudoun County, where it literally showed the devil in a contract, and it was like a whiteness contract or something like that. And it was like
that book. Was it called It's Not Your Fault?
Something like that. Yeah,
that book is also being taught in the Austin school district as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty messed up stuff. It's super young indoctrination. So anyway, there was parents there to combat that and to voice their concerns with that. Loudoun County actually was like, no, you can only speak for 1 minute at a time because we want to make sure everyone's heard, which is BS. Like, it's not enough time for a nervous parent to get up in front of everybody and, you know, redress their grievances. A minute.
I get it, but I also know these guys have been holding some stuff in for a while.
Well, most of them are smart and write on their phones and then just vent, and then the school board just listens, and then they don't do anything about it, and then they move on. They say, we listen to your concerns. We don't find them valid, and boom. So anyway, one dad, and this was all completely misconstrued by the media at the time, and now we actually know the full story, but one dad... we just see this video of him getting really upset and this cop taking him down, and they say, oh, this crazy conservative Trumper.
That's all you see. You see the clip,
yep.
You see him, you see no context, and bam.
Yep, he just gets taken down. And of course, all these media outlets are saying, oh, this crazy Trumper got out of hand, and these parents are becoming more and more violent and extreme. And I think it was the National School Board Association wrote a letter to the DOJ saying that parents are becoming domestic terrorists.
Yeah, and they wanted something done about it.
Yeah.
They denied it.
And the DOJ actually responded within 5 days,
mm-hmm.
whereas members of Congress have written them similar letters, and the DOJ has not responded at all.
This was something that needed to be done. I mean, I love it. And
yep.
they denied it. They said, didn't they say, like, nothing, we're not going to do anything about this?
What, the DOJ?
Yeah.
What
did they say?
No, they investigated it.
And then they said, nothing's happening. Am I right? I thought they were saying
only,
that it was like, we're good.
Only after the backlash that came of that.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know the timeline.
Only
so
after
thinking...
he got grilled by Congress. He had to testify in front of Congress before that. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, had to testify in front of Congress before that. And he got chewed up and down by Democrats and Republicans saying, what the hell is going on? Why are you paying attention to this, you know, teachers board union when you should be, and not paying attention to Congress and congressmen that are sending you criminal referrals and asking you legitimate questions. You're ignoring those, and you're doing this because of, you know, they're all the same agenda.
Social justice.
Yeah, no. And teachers' unions really helped get Biden elected. I mean, that's what it is. Anyway, so
wow.
This guy gets taken out by the cops, and you see, oh, man, this crazy Trumper. And we come to find out that because this school district allowed a... he was a boy that occasionally liked to wear dresses. They allowed him to go in the women's restroom, right? Because feelings. And he ends up raping a 15-year-old girl. In like a horrible way. Like a very, like, traumatizing way. Where she was traumatized all summer. Her parents had to basically, like, rebuild her whole life because she had been brutally raped at 15 by a classmate, right? The dad goes up to the school. So the school calls the dad and says, hey, there was an altercation at school. You need to come up here. And that's all he knows. He goes up there. They say, hey, your daughter was raped, actually. And he's like, where's the sheriff? Where are the cops? Where are the police? The perpetrator, you know? And so it's all going to be handled internally. And so he goes a little bit crazy about that. They call
of course he goes crazy.
They call the sheriff.
Internally?
They call the sheriff, which is illegal. They call the sheriff on him. On the dad. The dad gets taken in. This is a different occasion than the video that we all saw. The dad gets escorted out by the sheriff. For being upset that his daughter was raped at school, and the school did nothing about it. And then, so he gets taken away, and then he goes up to the school board meeting, obviously very upset about the same thing, and begins to say that more or less a transgender kid raped his daughter, who was a man, or a boy, really, in the women's restroom. And another parent got in his face and called him a liar and called his daughter a bitch to his face. And he didn't smack the shit out of her like I would have. I don't care if you're a woman. You say that about my daughter who's a rape victim?
No, you're
I'm going to choke you until you're dead.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cops came up behind him, grabbed his arm. He pulled away because he didn't know who it was. And that's when he gets resisting arrest and battery. I don't know if it was battery, but he was disturbing the peace or something like that. And resisting arrest.
Okay, now
he is charged.
I'm going to bring this back around real quick before we continue. The cops that are doing that.
Uh-huh.
Now, we want to say, you know, cops are great, back the blue, whatever the heck. But I don't see it. Because every time
Not
I see
in
a
situation
like, well, most situations now, what I see is the cops just following orders. And they say, we're just doing our job.
Uh-huh.
I got searched, you know, Labor Day weekend. We're just doing our job. I'm like, what is going on here? And so even though I don't agree with defunding the police at all, because I don't think it works. It doesn't work. Obviously, you have less personnel to do with
their
job. I
agree with retraining the police.
We need to, retrain, great. But also, let's like separate them from listening to freaking random national politics. Because I think it's causing problems. Because they're getting involved with all this social justice crap, and they have a side now. Policeman is supposed to be unbiased, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. A cop is supposed to be unbiased.
Yeah. Yeah, when you start politicizing the police, that's a really bad
sign
for society.
And that's what's happening, dude.
Yeah.
And you see that happening with this guy. He got arrested and charged with charges that
erroneous.
Probably were extreme for what he was actually doing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. So anyway, he resists arrest, gets charged with battery and all that stuff, and then what?
Yep. So there's some fallout from all this. That's basically what happened, but there's some fallout from it, some details that have emerged as of late. Like, the superintendent was asked, I think it was maybe during a formal deposition, if he knew about the incident. And he said, he was asked, not asked if he knew, he was asked, have there been other incidents like this? Have there been any other rapes on campus or anything? He says no. But emails prove that he knew about others before, including this kid had raped someone before that. and they just moved him schools. Yep. He had abducted a classmate, locked her in the class, and I'll just say he raped her too. I'm pretty sure it was before this other incident. Yeah. So this guy is a serial rapist who still goes to a public school and has not been punished at all for abduction and rape and all this stuff. Lots of charges against this guy.
Because when you go public with it, you can't avoid it. And it's dumb that this should even happen.
Mm-hmm.
This guy shouldn't have to be on national news for that to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, I shouldn't. We actually should not even know about this. Well, we could look into it and dig for it.
Mm-hmm.
But these things should be taken care of, like they're supposed to be taken care of, in general.
Yeah,
make it some big deal.
Yeah, you call the police and you call the parent immediately after.
Yeah. So I'm actually kind of in defense of Congress on that. Like, what are you doing, dude? The DOJ? Why are you involved with this? You know?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, what the crap, dude? Like, this... The state of our freaking states, dude. The state of the country, man. The state of... I don't know what to do, you know? I want to have optimism, and I want to have this glimmer of hope, you know? Uh-huh. But that's why I want to turn the podcast into a state, like a local podcast, is because I think that now... What do? I just fight for Texas?
So here's the silver lining of this.
There we go. That's what I want. Give me some freaking good news.
Lift everybody up, you guys. So parents are noticing, and Virginians are noticing, and the country is watching the Virginians. They have their election in just a couple weeks, early November. It's coming up, you know, really, really soon.
For the governor, right?
Yeah. It's Youngkin versus McAuliffe. McAuliffe was actually governor of Virginia, and he got elected in 2013. But you can't serve two consecutive terms. You can run as much as you want, be governor as much as you want, but you can't do it consecutive. You can leapfrog other governors if they like you enough.
That is...
And apparently they like McAuliffe enough on the Democratic side. So I saw a poll... Let me backtrack a little bit. So McAuliffe was asked several times, even in debates with Youngkin, you know, what about this, about CRT in schools and all this? And he literally said multiple times, I want to say at least a half dozen times that I've heard it, this election cycle. So like they've taken clips from 2012 or something. It's like this election cycle. Parents should not be in charge of what they learn in school or what their kids learn in school. He has said that multiple times. Like verbatim, and he's like, oh no, you took that out of context. It's like, no, it's not taking that out of context. You said that multiple times, multiple different ways, and in like multiple different settings. So,
but we're the ones that pay for the public education.
Yeah, it's public.
Yeah, it's
like
all
the
public.
Voters. Yeah,
like
the parents,
we literally have taxes. We pay.
All should be in charge.
And by the way, those freaking property taxes in Texas are a majority of public education. Mm-hmm. I don't know about in Virginia. Virginia has a lot of different taxes, though.
Mm-hmm.
What I understand about Virginians, you know, if you're mad, you know, I get Californians like, man, where do I go? Holy crap, I have to move all the way to Texas? Dang. Virginia, dude, you've got literally like dozens of states around you.
Yeah.
Like it's so small up there, dude, you could literally just pop out. I'm going to go to Maryland or wherever you go,
so,
you know?
Fun
like,
fact,
what the?
Most Californians are actually just going to Nevada, just right over one state.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Even though we have a guy that literally just bought a plot, and I know this for a fact from a good source because he's in, you know, he's in the legislative board of Aledo and Parker County. He said a guy, a real estate broker from California, came and bought 100-plus house plot, like spread for a subdivision, bought the whole thing.
Huh.
And he's going back to California to sell the houses.
Wow.
In Aledo, Texas, bro. Tiny. You know, not even like some crazy big
hopefully
place.
Hopefully he's selling them to conservatives because
no.
Parker County is deep red. I mean, 80% for Trump red.
Oh, no. I know what Parker County is all about for sure. I work in that
that's
county.
Where
right?
I live. That's where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I went to Aledo.
Aledo is iffy, honestly.
It's very it's suburban.
It's
yeah.
Weird.
It's
but
weird. But Willow Park and Hudson Oaks are like freaking.
Well, I kind of want to debunk. So there's some conservatives in Aledo that like
Democrat boy
are going against property taxes.
Yeah,
and I want to try to get them on the show and debunk them. But whatever. Regardless of all that crap, The fact that he's buying this crap in Aledo and he's one real estate broker coming from California tells me that shouldn't there be more? You know, if it's profitable, there's probably more than that.
Tons more, yeah. They're
and
all
you're
over.
Thinking thousands, they're... and you're thinking. You remember the housing boom?
Hundreds
moved.
Of thousands of people are leaving the state of California. They're going to Austin. They're going to Nevada. They're going to New Mexico. They're going to Utah.
Well, think about this. Before 2007, everyone was moving to California. People were buying tons of houses in Florida and California.
Since 1845, California has been growing exponentially like crazy.
But
yeah.
it grew. I know, and it grew even more. What I'm trying to say is when we were giving loans out like crazy for no reason, Florida and California grew like crazy.
Loans,
all these same people, they weren't even that political. Probably, I'm assuming a lot here. Now they're like, holy crap, what do we do? You know, what do we do? What do we do? Because they were in that position where they got screwed out of a home.
I mean,
they couldn't afford it.
Sucks
to suck.
I don't know why you would move to California in the first place. So,
anyway, Virginia, dude, I don't know why you're there. If you're there, dude, you literally have a state that you can drive 30 minutes.
But the point is,
you
don't want to leave your state. You want to fight for your state. It's like if Texas started turning blue, would you just leave? Would you just go to friggin' Kansas?
You want to make that point about states? Well, I can make that point about the country, but we've already given up the country. You know what I mean? Like, so what are we doing here?
Well.
Like, I get this a larger scale. I'm there. I get it.
But the thing is, if blue states fail and it's obvious, and red states succeed and it's obvious, and eventually people will change their minds. Eventually, it's gonna take some hard lessons for sure. But I think that's what's gonna happen. So anyway.
Okay.
Moving on. Moving back to the Unkin McAuliffe race in Virginia. So I saw a poll recently. That I can't remember who did it, but it was like something like 73% of Virginians, I don't know if it was likely voters or parents, it was kind of a vague stat, I don't know, I'm sorry, but it was something like 73% believe that parents should be in control of what is taught in, be in control of the curriculum in schools, public schools. So it's like the vast majority. And that includes like 30% of Democrats, while I agree
that kind of should be the case, you essentially we were supposed to already have that. So like we were supposed to have this board of education that represents the people, the parents. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's gotten way out of hand. It doesn't happen anymore.
So just
like literally every single other freaking system that's been going on for 100+ years. There's reform that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that all parents should just like dismiss the school board and get rid of that, and then they all come together and decide what the curriculum is, because it's not going to go well.
Right, but you should be, you know? You should just help your kid with their homework, and if you see anything out of the ordinary, or if you say, wow, they're learning this instead of math, what the heck? Like,
okay, so instead of exactly, I agree. So instead of us just totally bulldozing this state board of education out of the way, we say. How about you listen to parents?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I know you're saying that. I'm saying I feel like they're saying, like, they're going to change. If they get a vote that says parents should be in charge of curriculum, what are they likely to change? You know what I mean?
They're likely to boot CRT and
I'm thinking about what would happen to think about what would happen to the state, the school board. Nothing happens, or...
The school board. Oh, they.
You know what I mean? They're not school board. The state board of education. What would happen to them? You know,
they're not going
to
get reelected.
Okay.
They're going to vote no on all incumbents.
Right.
I saw the best bumper sticker I've ever seen in my life. It just said "Vote no on all incumbents." I was like, "That's a fantastic bumper sticker. I want that bumper sticker." Vote no on all incumbents. Do it. So the race is extremely tight. I think like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that. McAuliffe was up by Youngkin like 20 points. Now it's a tie. Statistical tie. Dead heat. Let's see. There's some recent polls. One from Emerson, which is a pretty left-leaning poll. 49-49, straight tie. USA Today, McAuliffe up 1. Monmouth, another fairly left-leaning poll. Tie. USA Today is probably extremely left. Trafalgar Group, that's a really good... fairly conservative pollster group. They have it at a tie. Fox News is pretty anomalous here. They have it at McAuliffe up 5, 51-46, but that was October 10th through the 13th. And that was 1,000 registered voters. There's Trafalgar did about 1,100 likely voters with a smaller margin of error. Actually, the smallest margin of error at 3%. And that was a tie. A tie, 48-48. So it's getting extremely close. And let's just go back. So 2017, Ralph Northam, the guy that wore KKK outfit or blackface, one of the two, in a yearbook photo, he won the state by 8.9 points. Biden won the state by 10 points. Like, it is a blue state. And it's a tie for governor right now. That's how much it has swung. And that's how much people are paying attention. So Virginia is definitely, if you're not into politics, if you're kind of a beginner to politics, look at this state, and it is definitely going to be a bellwether for how the it's definitely going to be a
2024 goes.
No. It's going to be a bellwether for how 2022 midterms go.
Oh, right.
So
people are in a swing. You're right, and I agree with you completely. I think Virginia will tell people, and Pennsylvania will be like a big deciding thing. You know what happens in Pennsylvania?
Maybe we'll
I
see.
Don't know, man, I'm saying the Virginia, I guess, is one of those, but Pennsylvania and Georgia are, like, to me, big indicators here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how blue Georgia has gone, and then Pennsylvania being, well, blue where it should probably be red. You know. Anyway. Going back to our other thing about Texas, though, I want to say some things real quick. So, just so you guys know, if you're around the area locally in Tarrant County, I want to tell you who your representatives are, just real quick before we keep going. The Congressional District 12, that's where we're in, the congresswoman for us, is Kay Granger. The House representative for us is Craig Goldman, District 97. The senator for us is Beverly Powell. I don't think she has
State senator.
The senator for us? I said the senator. The state senator for us?
Yeah. Texas state senator.
Right. Texas state senator that represents our district, District 10, Beverly Powell. And Miss Patricia Hardy is our State Board of Education, District 11. I've been doing some research on her, and she just seems to be, I guess, I don't know, kind of old. Traditional values, it seems like.
Yeah, well,
that's all I've seen.
It's Fort Worth, and the people that actually vote are in those elections are actually paying attention. So, I feel like
it makes sense.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. It makes sense.
She's going to be a pretty traditional conservative, I would imagine.
The U.S. senator that represents us is John Cornyn.
Yeah, and then the other one. Who's the other one?
Ted Cruz. Who's the other one? Ted Cruz is the last one, obviously.
Yeah, John Cornyn just got reelected.
Guys, it's easy to find this information. If you guys have anything you want to say, have anything you want to speak up about, you can obviously send a letter to these guys. And I know that that's said time and time again. And it may not do anything. I don't know. Maybe it does. I don't know what it does. Honestly, I've never gotten a response. So, but I mean, it might be necessary. You know.
Yeah. So. Speaking of politics, while we're on politics, we can talk about this. It's a long way off, but you mentioned 2024. I do want to make a prediction.
Well, that's fine. And you know, guys, if you guys didn't know, you know, we had an episode planned and recorded and ready to go, but it just didn't work out too well because equipment and my operator failures.
Anyway, so I've got a prediction for 2024, and I'm going to rank some potential candidates. And if you don't know who any of these people are, you're probably just going to have to Google it. But hopefully most of our listeners will know who this is. But these are just Maddie B's predictions of where things stand right now and where things might go in 2024. Okay? So this is edited from text that I shared with my brother. So hopefully I don't read too fast, and hopefully it'll make sense to y'all. So it's going to be under a tier classification system, top tier being S tier for, I guess, supreme tier. I don't know why they do this, but, and then followed by A, B, and C, etc. So I start by saying DeSantis is obviously the best governor of the country. He belongs in A tier. Remember, S tier is the top, and then A, B, C, D, etc., E, F. He has no foreign policy experience to speak of. And I speak a lot more about DeSantis, but he has no foreign policy experience to speak of. That's why he's not S tier. Great governor, great backbone, great vision for the future. And it seems like a great family guy too. And pray for his wife because she just got diagnosed with breast cancer. So moving on, Senator Tom Cotton belongs in B tier at best. I like Tom Cotton, but he's not very exciting or noteworthy. He has almost no personality at all. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, is C tier for the same reasons as DeSantis, minus she has no backbone, and she's the governor of, mostly because she's the governor of a small state and has less political leverage to stand up to big corporations that she's trying to get to move to her state. Whereas DeSantis has Florida. He's got a huge state, lots of people, lots of businesses. You know, it's a huge state. Nothing's going to touch it if he says some wrong thing and pisses off woke corporations. Whereas South Dakota, a state with just over 500,000 people in the whole state, she's trying to attract as many businesses as possible. Their biggest city is Sioux Falls in South Dakota, and it's got about 100,000 people in it. Like, it's a small state, population-wise. But it's a great state. And I feel like she's doing a really good job running it. I feel like she just needs to be governor for a little bit longer. And she might have a good political future in front of her. If she does, she does need to stand up for conservative principles, though. So, moving on, Ambassador Nikki Haley. She was a UN ambassador under President Trump. And Secretary Pompeo, Secretary of State Pompeo, former Secretary of State, are both A tier. If not S tier. Fantastic leadership, great on foreign policy, strong but not aggressive, and in their speech and mannerisms and tone. And Haley is an Indian American. I think she was the first Indian. No, I think she was the second Indian American governor, first woman Indian American governor, because Bobby Jindal of Louisiana. She's got fantastic leadership, great on foreign policy. She's an Indian American that removed the Confederate flag from the South Carolina Capitol because she was governor of South Carolina. So she's pretty much bulletproof as far as from the woke left. Like, well, how are they going to attack
cancel
her?
How
like,
they cancel
she's
her?
Not. She can't be racist. She can't be sexist. She can't be, you know,
right,
this or that, because she did. She made all the right moves, and she's got a fantastic foreign policy. She's very tough on China, just like Mike Pompeo. Doesn't parse words. Ted Cruz is also B tier. He's just too polarizing for the shrinking middle ground, but obviously would be my first pick as attorney general, as CIA director, or best of all, an associate justice on the Supreme Court. I think he'd be tops my number one pick for any of those positions for sure. I said I'm 99% sure he will be on the Supreme Court someday, and I definitely stand by that. I hope he is, and I think he will be. Governor Abbott is a spineless, no pun intended, politician who needs a real... Who needs to let a real conservative lead Texas? Said like Alan West, in my opinion. Although Austin is getting crazy huge, which is kind of scary because they're all going to vote for Beto, 100%. Even McConaughey's probably likes guns too much for Austin. He's weak on too many issues. Abbott is, and looks weak and reactionary compared to DeSantis.
Well, you got guys like Michael Malice and Joe Rogan and things like that moving to Austin, you know? So that's like, I mean, there's one vote, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I could see them swaying a lot of people. And I made a note, where are the National Guards at the border? We've got like 11,000 National Guards in our state, and there's like 20 at the border. What are you doing, Abbott? Like, there's caravans of people heading over constantly. Like, do something drastic, because nobody else is. And then I get to big T. So Trump belongs in S tier, top tier, supreme tier, number one pick. He has
I'm just imagining a fighting game, you know, and you're like, they're sitting there and you're like, S tier, you know, it's like Trump standing here doing this ready to fight. You know, that's what I'm imagining when you just said S tier. Just like clicked with me, bro.
Okay,
that is so funny. They're so swinging on a pedestal right now.
So Trump belongs in S tier. He has 4 years. So funny. He has 4 years experience being the president. He knows what he would do on day one. He's got a plan, obviously.
Now, yeah, for sure.
He knows what to do. I feel like he knew what to do day one in 2017. But yeah, he knows what he would do on day one. And more importantly, he knows who he can trust and how to accomplish his goals. That said, here's my prediction here. Trump will run. He will declare just before Iowa, long after most others. He will easily get the nomination, as DeSantis won't dirty himself up by running at all if he's smart, and he is. So I'm kind of torn whether or not DeSantis will run. I hope he does not.
You think they don't talk? Come on now. Him and Trump are like, who's going to do it? I got it.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I think they both want to be president. So I think they'll get to talking eventually, but right now they might be cordial. They might talk a little bit, but they're not talking about 2024. I guarantee you that. That's the elephant in the room between those two guys. Remember, Trump lives in Florida too, so I bet they have regular interactions. You know, running the same circles.
Weird, yeah.
But I bet there's a lot of tension in the air with the knife.
Yeah.
So here we go. If DeSantis runs, I don't think that'd be the smartest move for him, personally. But Trump will pick Haley or Noam as his running mate. Because, like I said, they're bulletproof women. You almost have to pick a woman, because if Biden... That's it. Hold on. I go on to say he's going to pick Haley or Noam as a running mate. Biden will either be dead or not run. So he's either not going to be alive.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be out of office and retired and... No, done. Like, out of the limelight. And Trump will be the 45th and 47th president of the United States. That's what I think. So, DeSantis will run. So, here's my alternate kind of prediction. If DeSantis runs in 24, he will do it to show his intentions for the future, but it won't be a long run. Like I said, Trump will jump in kind of late, like right before Iowa, whereas DeSantis might... do that beginning window, and then maybe like right when Trump jumps in, he's like, you know what, I'm out. Like, I don't want to run against Trump, because we're going to be running the same lane, and that's a steamroller with 1,000 people behind it, and I'm just like a steamroller with 20 people behind it. You know what I mean? And his steamroller is much bigger than mine. Because remember, Trump had that groundwork, like Brad Parscale helped lay that groundwork in 2015, 2016 for Trump. And it's still there. That infrastructure, that groundwork is still there. It was working in 2020, and then they stole the election. And then 2024, I feel like a lot of states have come out with election integrity laws that are really going to make it a lot harder to cheat this time. So that's my...
Yeah, meanwhile, no one's really talking about that. You know, like, they talk about how people, like, states were suing or states were counting and all that crap, counting votes and all that still and all that, but... They don't talk about the governors that were literally passing laws as fast as they could in the legislative sessions of the states, Texas included, to like have more voter integrity. It's like, dang. So, is it stormy outside? Wow.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh yeah, there's supposed to be a storm coming through. So he'll run in 28 and he'll win the nomination, especially if he serves as Trump's VP or a high level cabinet position. If he could be Secretary of State, that would be an amazing experience for him. Like I said, he doesn't have much foreign policy. He does as a governor. You have a little bit. You travel a little bit. You talk to businesses, foreign businesses, sometimes foreign leaders, but not very often. And then I was thinking about Trump versus Kamala in a debate and how hilarious that would be. And I said, I can see it now. To her cackling in the background, Trump's just like, oh, so you think this is a joke? It's funny to you? You know, like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas? Like, how am I funny? Like, I'm a clown? I amuse you? You know? And she's going to be back.
I think Kamala's greatest threat, if you will, was Tulsi Gabbard. Like, she, like, destroyed Kamala. And it's like, come on, what are we doing here?
Tulsi needs to just switch parties
Trump,
already.
I will say this. I don't know if Trump is, like, the greatest debater in the world, you know?
Oh, he's not that great, no.
So I don't know how... Kamala's, I guess, not that good either.
He's kind of a child in the room, but it's still amusing to watch.
Oh, it's definitely funny.
But, man, yeah, if Tulsi... If Trump picked Tulsi as his running mate, can you imagine that kind of
ticket?
That's
what I'm talking about.
That
would be what I want.
That would
be
intense.
It would be amazing, because that would grab...
But that would...
That would grab the, you know, quote-unquote extreme right people, and it would also grab the college kids, or a little bit above that are moderate.
But the thing is...
Don't know where they
want
to be.
They don't want the same... They don't have the same agenda. Like, they don't align enough politically. It just wouldn't be feasible. Like, she would undermine him a lot, like, too much. And he wouldn't be able to trust her. So, you gotta have that trust if they're your number two, right? Like, Mike Pence aligned with conservative Trump quite well. But Trump was a little bit more pragmatic and less principled. And so, he was able to get things done, get deals done. Whereas, I don't think Mike Pence would be that great of a president. I didn't even rank Mike Pence on here, if you noticed.
Well, I know, but Mike Pence also, at the end, kind of, like, fell off. He was, like, not into it.
Well, he wanted to preserve his political future, because he's going to run for president eventually, and he didn't want to be known as the guy that.
Yeah, but he's still
caused the insurrection.
You didn't even mention him on your list. He's still ruined. He's still gone.
Well, it's because he's Mike Pence. He's like the most milquetoast vanilla. He's not going to go anywhere. He's going to run. He's going to fade out.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Mike Pence. Like, he's a nice guy.
Well,
but
I don't know. Yeah, I get it. He will fade out, though, so who cares? Anyway.
Yeah, he's going to fade. So, okay, so a little bit more. So I said there's a lot of time, but Trump has the most loyal following I've ever seen. Plus, DeSantis is young. It'd be smart to him to wait until 2028 and get an endorsement instead of dividing Republicans. I would wait if I was him. Serve a second term as governor. He's running right now for re-election in 2022. And the road will be clear, and he can just coast for 2 years while campaigning. He can serve two terms as governor and be done by 2026, chill for 6 months, and then start his campaign 18 months before the 2028 election. I think that would be the best long game for him. He won't have to run a presidential campaign and be the governor of the third biggest state at the same time. Like, that's going to be really tough. Like, you're either going to fail your people of Florida as governor, or you're not going to run the best campaign you can, or, you know, both. So, and as for the Democrats, I don't think they want Kamala as president. Nobody does. Dems are pretty much screwed, but they're getting their cultural agenda through, and that's all they really care about. If they can just advance that cultural agenda now, then they can. That's how they feel they can hold on to power. And the whole, like, the Obama strategy of divide and conquer, the divide people by socioeconomic groups and by race and by gender and by sexual identity or whatever, and then grab those coalitions one by one and say, oh, well, if you're gay, then Republicans hate you and you must join our side. And if you're black, then Republicans hate you and you must join our side. And then before you know it, you've got 60% of Americans, right?
Yeah, it's true. And I think that, what about other parties? You know, I get that we never have this. We don't usually discuss this because it's kind of moot, but, like, I feel like, is that not happening more? Are we not having more people, like, realize that there are other parties and maybe there's something different out there?
Mm-hmm. The whole problem is with Republicans and Democrats is they want to be these quote unquote big tent parties where they have all these broad different views. And it's like, that's not really feasible, right? Like, we have so many different views. Like, there's, like, these, you know, squishy liberal moderate Republicans, and then there's normal Republicans, and there's rhinos, and then there's this and that, and it's like, okay, well, that's not the same thing. Like,
and we talked about
different political parties
on our episode. We talk about which party are you. We talk about the fact that Europe,
how the UK
has like 6 or 7 or 8.
They have
whatever,
like,
parties.
They have like 15.
15 different parties.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, man? And those parties aren't just moot. They're not just random parties.
Well,
they actually exist.
They really have
vote.
Like, they have like two major parties, the liberals and conservatives, basically, for lack of better actual words. But and then they have like the Ireland or Free Scotland party or something like that. So it's like, okay, well, obviously we know what they want. You know, they're like a one issue kind of voter bloc. They want Scotland to be free finally after, you know, thousands of years of friggin' English rule. So last thing I'm gonna say about Kamala, I said Republicans are patient to a fault. I think Biden is barely lucid. I would feel bad for him, but he did it to himself and he deserves it. His family deserves it and the country deserves it. Shameful to vote for someone because you're brainwashed into thinking the other guy is racist. Honestly, I have little faith the country will recover against a rising China. 10 years and we will be replaced as the number one superpower no matter what happens. Americans are too far gone and most are ignorant as hell. So there goes your silver lining, everybody. China's gonna eat our lunch. But I will say the caveat to that is you think the US has a bad debt problem? China's is way worse. Way worse. as far as a percentage of their GDP, about 2.5 times worse than our debt to GDP ratio. And their GDP is starting to taper off, whereas ours just keeps going up 2 to 4% every year. I mean, minus COVID, right? There's like shot up. It was like a, they had one year, it was like a 7 or 8% GDP growth year over year, which is astronomically fast and high.
No, it's insane. It's not possible.
Right. It's inflated, obviously, mm-hmm. by communists and, right. and who's paying for it, right? Slaves. So,
yeah, we're about to get into that.
So, yeah, so that's my take on the future of presidential politics in the United States. So,
wow.
While we, well, caveat into China real quick. So, China, I mean, what, there's so much going on with China, with the NBA and Nike, and with the aggression in Hong Kong and Taiwan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so let's move that aside, because we got a lot of things going on in China. We'll talk specifically about NBA, and we'll talk specifically about Nike a little bit, and Cantor, how he, you know, decided he was going to speak up and say, hey, you know what, Nike's silent, they suck, why are they silent, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, so
I guess, you know, we got backlash. We have a lot of backlash from China already, which is pretty quick, because this was just, you know, reported, what, 11 hours ago? This was like a reporting. So I'm thinking, holy crap, you know. Cantor plays for the Celtics. I don't know how good the guy is. I don't keep track of the NBA just because, you know, I kind of boycotted the NBA in a way after I know how much they are funded by China. Not directly, but they have so many fans in China that love basketball that they are catering to China more than they're catering to the American audience on purpose.
Well, did you know that the movie industry
also does that?
Well, obviously, but the biggest consumer of, I guess, cinematic entertainment is China now.
Yeah.
It was America for 100 years.
Well, right. I think
think about that.
That.
Think about, you know, money talks, right?
Yeah, and you see John Cena, like, apologizing to China.
Oh, yeah, he's brainwashed.
It was weird. It was weird watching him do
he's
that.
He's a he slave did to money is what he
so,
is.
So, okay, so I think that actually has to do with their culture progress, if that makes sense. So when we were like developing film and like getting like making it, we were creating this new cultural thing. You know, America was doing that. Pioneers,
right?
Essentially. Well, other countries obviously still had to catch up to that. And I think China, you know, maybe they are economically superpower, and they are, like, manufacturing-wise they're superpower, industrial-wise they're superpower, but culturally, as far as media goes, I don't think they were superpower at all. And I think that that's changing. And I think that's changing because they're finally getting up to that point where they can do that. So people are consuming it more.
I would only disagree in the fact that they don't create very much.
Right. I get what you're saying. Culture. But they're getting more involved is what I'm trying to say.
They're consuming
their more. People are getting more involved with that, yeah.
Right.
You talk about TikTok. Like, that idea would not have come out of China for, you know, I can't even imagine when it would have until now. Obviously, now it makes sense. Before this, no way. There's no way. TikTok, owned by a China company, you know, but it is. And that has a little bit to do with data, too. I will say that. But I'm saying that they are getting way more involved culturally than I thought they ever would directly, even though they have in the past. Seems like they got involved with our culture to change it.
Yeah.
Change America's culture, not their own, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Who cares about that? Because they've made up their whole crap. They made up their whole facade the whole time, you know. So now I think it's starting to be real. Whether or not that helps them or hurts them, that's my question. So you say that maybe China will have more debt than America, and they do.
They do. Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, they have more debt as a percentage of their GDP.
Well, what I think is the more people engage with culture, the more people might realize things and start thinking for themselves. That is the exact opposite of what might be happening in America, because we've changed our culture in a way that makes it kind of toxic, you know? But somehow I feel like the culture change or shift that's happening in China to be like they're consuming more content and all this stuff will actually help us. You don't think so?
No, because they don't have internet in China. Everything that they see and consume is
controlled.
Controlled very
that's a good point.
Very effectively.
And
it's not like you know, they control 80% of the stuff. They control 100% of anything that is consumed by anybody in China.
You're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. And so there's no way for them to falter from, you know,
right
from the main narrative. They
I watched
want.
This.
That's interesting.
I watched this Daily Wire video of this Chinese. She was a Chinese national. Now she's an American. She went to a Chinese university, then got. She went to some American university to get her doctoral degree, a very high end. Pepperdine, that's where she went. Anyway, she was talking about the China she grew up in. Her parents were both illiterate, which is extremely common in China. Most rural Chinese are illiterate, and they said that they never learned about or even thought about government. It was just like, that's the authority. We do what they tell us to do, and then they're just merchants. They're just street vendors is all that her parents were. And she ended up, of course, being very gifted intellectually and was saying, like, they don't think about government. They don't think about...
Why? They don't think about why they're under this random authority. Why does that...
Right, that's just... Like, it is the way it is. We do this to further our country, you know? And they don't question it, and because... They're not allowed. People disappear if they question the authority, you know. It's and there's no way to combat it. There's absolutely no way to combat it. Whether it's and if it's subversive, if you get a group of, you know, 10 guys together and you somehow can coordinate meetings and stuff like that, you're not gonna be able to get weapons other than knives and stuff. And
yeah, things like that. It's almost like when we like ousted the KGB, it had to be an informant from the KGB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to be a defector.
Right.
So it's like getting someone else to help them, not like them creating this crazy army in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that never happens.
Yeah.
That sucks. But this guy, going back to this actual story we got.
Yeah, so Boston Celtics center Enes Kanter, this is from the Daily Wire, has gone after China for the treatment of the Tibetan people and their imprisonment of the Uyghur Muslims. Pretty funny stuff. He said, quote, he's talking about Chinese slave labor, and he says, quote, your company says, he's talking about Nike specifically, your company says that you're making a positive impact in our communities, Kanter said. And that is true. Yes, you are here in the United States. Nike stands with BLM, Nike stands with Stop Asian Hate, Nike stands with the Latino community, and Nike stands with the LGBTQ community. But when it comes to China, Nike remains silent. You do not address police brutality in China. You do not speak about discrimination against the LGBT community. You do not say a word about the oppression of minorities in China. You are scared to speak up. Which is totally true. It's like they have so many profits. Like
I have that video up if you want to listen to it.
Half their business revenue is... is from China.
And he apparently has done this before.
Uh-huh.
So he's basically, every time he buys a shoe, he does this. And it's not going to play right. I don't care. Keep going. But he does, he gets white trainers from this guy that's in Australia and was born in Shanghai. And he basically designs all of his shoes. And these shoes literally just say modern day slaves on them and stuff like that, you know, to remind people.
Yeah,
and
free Tibet.
Of course, they're not made by Nike. But, What's interesting to me is that now it's getting the publicity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other times I haven't seen him, I didn't know he existed until now.
Right.
I'm not an NBA follower, so of course people that watch NBA know he exists, but I'm saying for this purpose.
And I feel like the best part of this is, so because he's doing all this, because he's wearing free Tibet on his shoes and, you know, free Uyghur slave laborers and stuff like that, China banned all Boston Celtics games from being shown so it's China has their own streaming service. Obviously they can't have Netflix because they can't control what Netflix puts out in China necessarily as easily as just having their own streaming service. It's a state streaming service. Can you imagine that? U.S. government streaming service or whatever. Like, weird, right? That's what they have in China, and I'm sure it's very entertaining. But that streaming service has a deal with the NBA, of course, to play NBA games, and now all Boston Celtics games can no longer be played on that streaming service, which is the only way that they can watch NBA in China. So I find that hilarious. So it's like, not only do the Boston Celtics games get thrown out, but everyone they play with as well. So it's like...
He's causing a wave, and it's good.
Yeah.
Now I want to see what Nike does. Nike probably won't respond as fast as freaking China did. Holy crap, that was fast. I feel like it was fast, but Nike will probably take a few days, maybe, hopefully, and reflect on it. Let's hope, and not come out and say, you know, get rid of him. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he's sponsored by Nike or anything. He's probably not on purpose. So yeah. There's no contract with Nike, you know?
Or
does he have a contract with Nike?
No, but the NBA does.
Yeah, I know NBA does, but whatever.
Nike is the exclusive clothing brand for the NBA.
I know. I wonder the relationship between a player, the team manager, and then NBA, and then Nike. You know what I'm saying? I'm wondering where in the line would Nike be able to give a crap about the player and do something about it. I'm guessing it's just because they know people. It's just because
No direct, because the player is employed by the team,
right? The team, and
which
the team
is privately owned,
right? Exactly my point.
Unless you
right.
play for the Green Bay Packers, which is
I'm
the
trying
only
to imagine it
team.
Like a small business versus a corporation versus a state government. That's what I'm trying to imagine going on, because NBA is going to act like some big corporation, like NFL. You know,
but they can't. I mean,
what can they actually do?
They can suspend him, but they're not going to, because I feel like other players would be very upset. This guy's just wearing shoes, and you're suspending him for wearing different shoes. Like, come on, NBA.
Well,
first the vaccine and now getting real testy.
What I think about is the take a knee thing.
Yeah, there you go,
dude. You're just talking about some random symbol, and I understand why maybe some people might be upset, like, oh, you're misrepresenting the American flag. I honestly don't know if I gave a crap. I don't really care. Whatever. They can do what they want. That's why we're in a free country. That's the whole freaking point.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I am. We talk about this all the time. We're like, well, you can burn a flag. That shows your freaking biggest, like, voice of freedom right there.
Mm-hmm.
Can burn our own freaking flag, which obviously I don't like that. Obviously, I think you're crazy for doing it. I think, come on, dude, what are you doing? Point being, shoes don't freaking matter either. It's like, dude, let him do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Doing what he's doing, actually speaking up about it and saying, this is why I do it. You know, Nike, you're too quiet. That might actually, it is making waves. Good, mm-hmm. Great, awesome.
Yeah. And so the Chinese streaming service is called Tencent. Yeah. They cut the live feed of the Celtics-Knicks game.
By the way, guys, Tencent is also a public company on the American stock market.
Yeah, mid-game, they were like, cut, boom.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it had to come from like a high up in the Chinese government. It was like, oh, no, get that guy off the TV. Yeah, pretty intense.
It's so crazy how quickly they do that.
Yeah, on Thursday, future Celtics games were marked as unavailable to be live streamed, according to the New York Times.
Wow.
Yep, they are banned.
Holy crap.
Good job.
Hey guys, we're moving on and then something new, but I want to tell you guys before we begin this new topic, I am not talking about COVID anymore. I said it last time, but I didn't get to put that episode up yet, so I want to tell you now. We're not talking about COVID anymore. We're done. We get it. Understand. You know our positions on it. That's it. We might bring up vaccines and vaccine mandates sometimes, depending on what the topics are, like the one we're about to talk about now quickly. But besides that, guys, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to do it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I can say, really.
And the only thing I'll say about the mandates is that I just saw a video on YouTube in my daily YouTube rummaging, and it was literally, I would have to say at least 100,000 people in the streets of Brazil. I don't know what city, but it was anti-vaccine mandate. And one commenter on YouTube said, like, good job, Brazil. Now, only if Australia could be as brave as you. And I totally agree with that. Like, there were protests in Australia, but they got beanbagged and tear gassed out of the streets.
Well, I know, but you never know which... Okay. But there were also some videos where people were breaking through those people, breaking through the cops.
In Australia?
Yeah,
like, I did see that.
I mean, I think it's you know, you never know what city they're showing from, but maybe you do, but they're all different cities in Australia. Meanwhile, I don't know, man. I'm even though that was way more of a show of force, there was like hundreds of thousands of people versus mm-hmm. the, you know, thousands you might see in Australia.
You ain't gonna do nothing with the riot police.
I I am wondering. I just don't think Australia has the moves. They don't. What can they do?
Well, they gave up. Australia's dumb. This
because
is why.
Because they gave up their guns.
They have no freedom of speech there. They gave up a lot of their rights over the last 20, 30 years in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be a free country. Now it's not. Now it's a country full of obedient pussies. But, okay, going back to China real quick, because I'm done talking about Australia, because they lost all respect from me. So this just came out, today? October 26th, from Daily Wire, Ryan Saavedra reporting. And this is from the Chinese media. If Taiwan changes name of office in U.S., so I guess their embassy is slightly different than, I guess they might not have like an embassy in Taiwan. That may just be like a, I'm not exactly sure. Okay, so Chinese propagandist Hu Zhijin, editor of China's state-run Global Times. So if you ever see something from the Global Times, no, it's CCP propaganda. He warns in a video that if the U.S. allows Taiwan to change the name of its representative office in the U.S. from Taipei Economic and Cultural Representative's Office to Taiwan Representative Office, that China will respond with military action.
So I guess it was already in question. Like, I didn't even know it was a question. So are we trying to do that? Are we trying to change the name? Just to do it? Just to see what happens? Antagonize?
I think it's just a threat.
Like, it came out of nowhere. If you change the name, but were we even planning on changing the name? You know, I don't know.
And here's a little caveat. The Global Times is known for being a jingoistic publication that often makes more extreme statements than the Chinese Communist Party.
How do you make more extreme statements than China? That's crazy.
I mean, changing the name on an office door response
with military
responding
with
military action. That's kind of crazy.
No, it is. I was saying that because it's like representing them as if they would say something and exaggerate the CCP. And I'm like, how do you exaggerate the CCP? They're already crazy and extreme. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking in my head, but whatever.
And he goes on to say, I think who said this? This is obviously to test the attitude of the Chinese mainland. So the U.S. is testing the attitude of the Chinese mainland to the CCP. I think this test is unnecessary. As soon as the U.S. and Taiwan do so, it will undoubtedly trigger an unprecedented response from Beijing. This is funny. An unprecedented response from Beijing. At the very least, Beijing will recall its ambassador to the U.S. as it did for Lithuania for the same reason. So there's precedent right there. Just contradict yourself. And that is merely the diplomatic retaliatory measures. We'll send our MiG ripoffs over to Taiwan. Even though they're actually kind of decent planes, but aircraft. Chinese aircraft, but not as good as U.S. aircraft, I'll tell you that right now. The F-35 will knock that out of the sky real fast. I wonder how many F-35s are in Taiwan.
I don't know, but I know there's a lot in Israel. You know?
Yeah, Israel bought a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have a bunch of our military in Taiwan right now.
No, I know. Yeah, it's crazy. I know. We it's so interesting. Why do we do that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because we're ready for defense. You know, it's like, we're gearing up, you know. It's like, it's pretty clear what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
In Taiwan. People are gearing up for war here.
So this is a headline from the Wall Street Journal. Does Taiwan's military stand a chance against China? Few think so. Yeah, I would have to agree. Taiwan probably doesn't have much of a military.
Few think so?
Yeah, it does not look good for Taiwan at all.
I mean, against Taiwan by themselves, maybe not, you know. Hopefully we actually stand up and actually help an ally. But that would lead to a lot more stuff, I think. A lot much more extreme war.
It would be another Korea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be bad. It'd be real bad. And I think Taiwan as an island would get completely destroyed.
Wiped off the face of the map, dude. That sucks.
It'd be really hard to rebuild.
Well, dead gum, dude. Sounds like a good podcast, though.
Dead gimmit. Yeah, just real quick off the Washington Post. The U.S. has few credible options, quote-unquote, to respond if China were to seize a set of islands administered by Taiwan in the South China Sea, underscoring the need for Washington and Taipei to build a deterrence, quote, against limited Chinese aggression, according to the results of a war game conducted recently by foreign policy experts in Washington and the Asia-Pacific region. So unless we really send a bunch of military equipment, personnel, resources to the island of Taiwan, and honestly, I would bump up South Korea, and I would bump up Japan. Our military personnel and bases over there, I'd be like, y'all are getting more equipment, y'all are getting more personnel. Get ready for it. That way, if they need backup, and then I would send two big aircraft carrier fleets, two of them, and put them right in this, one right in the South China Sea and one in the Sea of Japan. And I'd be like, what's up? What do you want to do? And I'd be flying drones every day right next to China. Just provocative. I'd be poking that tiger all day long if I was the U.S. president. Because the thing is, if you show strength like that, they're going to back down.
Well, because they believe in that.
Right.
That's their whole freaking thing.
Exactly. They're only pushing as far as they're allowed to be as far as they are allowed to push. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they also, don't know what they have to back it up. What if they don't have anything to back it up, really? You know?
Who, China?
Yeah, what if...
Oh, they do.
Well, because their whole premise is to be bigger than... to show that they're big, regardless of what they actually have. You know?
Mm.
For Taiwan, obviously, yeah, Taiwan, okay, I get it. Taiwan would be wiped off the face of the map. I get it. But against the U.S., I actually am hopeful that we don't have this... Oh, China could demolish us. I don't know if I believe that for a second.
Well, no, they couldn't demolish us, but they could take over Taiwan, and we couldn't do anything about it. That's what these war games are saying.
Right.
These drills and
but
exercises.
But when you talk about poking the tiger and poking the freaking, just getting them going, provocative, I think that leads to skipping Taiwan altogether. Taiwan might just be ruined no matter what, and we're still here.
Hmm.
China. It's us and China then. I think that's what this goes to. If we, depending on how we respond and how we do it, it definitely will either... obviously skip Taiwan, or this is all about Taiwan, let's focus on that. If this doesn't go well, we're out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think the reason China doesn't want to get into an armed conflict with the U.S., the biggest reason, is because we have more allies than they do. I mean, we have all of Europe. We have, I mean, Africa is nothing. We have South Africa, that counts. We have Israel, which has an amazing military. We mm-hmm. have Japan, which has an amazing navy. It's a defensive navy, but it's pretty... state of the art. And then I bet you pretty big money. I bet we could get a lot of Southeast Asia, not to mention India, which is not friendly to the Chinese. They're very friendly to the U.S. And then even Vladimir Putin, I could see him going neutral and being like, I don't want to get Russia involved in between that. And if it got really bad, he would side with China.
Of course, like the land right in the middle, he's like, oh, I don't want to get involved. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You have to be involved, bro.
He borders China and North Korea.
I know, it's like the Swiss, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, we're neutral.
Even though you're right in the middle.
Get the heck out of here. Did you hear the new, was Sweden, the prime minister, right? They have a parliament, right? What do they have?
I guess, I don't know.
Okay, she was like, she literally, they asked her point blank, a reporter asked her point blank, are you trying to separate into two classes?
Oh, that was
people?
New Zealand. Yeah.
Unvaccinated, uh-huh. Vaccinated. She just said, yep. That's it.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's about. Ha ha. Yeah, she like laughed about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. A little on the nose.
New Zealanders, man. That should have been a wake-up call. I can get the heck out.
Friggin' Kiwis, man.
Dude. New Zealand chicks, dude. Just saying, man.
Sheilas.
Sheilas. It's not Australian, yeah, even though I'm into that too.
Sheila Kiwis.
I'm trying. You know what? I'm going to go explore whenever, but I can't. I feel like everywhere I go would just be
COVID,
like...
COVID, bro.
No, I feel like everywhere I go would just be amped up by COVid. Yeah. Not because I can't
go
Australia's there.
Well, Australia's locked down anyway. Like, they won't let anyone in. They haven't let foreigners
if
in
anyone
in like 18 months.
Wants to get married and move to America, I'm your guy.
Not necessarily in that order.
I'll do a mail order bride. I'd give my hand at that, you know?
I am old guy. I'm here to be your new bride.
Give it the old college try. I don't know. I'm just saying, man. Like, what are we doing, you know? You can try and see. It fails, whatever. Marriage appeal. Pff, you know?
Get a prenup.
All right, guys. With that, I am out, and I think we're both out. And the podcast is out.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Stay toasty, guys. Toasty.